Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 583. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. What is up, good sir?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
We were full of adult stuff today. We were doing all adult talk before we got on to talk about this silly wrestling thing.
Yeah, and just, boy, how times have changed. And it's as bad as, like, the bankers are now. Just how bad they were. Real quick, we were talking about housing interest rates. And back in 74, 77, housing interest for a loan was 22%. That's 22, folks. We complain about a credit card being 24.9 or whatever. This was someone spending $60,000 or whatever on a house. That is criminal. More criminal than it is now. Maybe. Probably not. But no matter what, the banks are all crooks. So,
that is just an insane amount to be almost paying an extra quarter on top of whatever the house cost was. Obviously, the inflation is what it is, but I mean, you know, like everything adjusts to the inflation.
Yeah. Oh, and real quick, we talked about this off the air, but last week we were talking about the defund the police stuff.
Oh,
Are you getting those Trump ads where you call 911 and you have a waiting machine or automated attendant or whatever?
Yeah, that's sorry, we can't take your call for a rape right now.
Yeah, was it press 1 for rape, press 3 for murder or something? And I'm like, how do you – all right, so one, how do you categorize what comes first? Like what's the most popular one? Like robbery should be first? Like, statistically, is that how they do it? Or just whatever gets your ears buzzing first? But no, the only reason I brought it up is, I mean, we fast forward through TV commercials when we can. And I've complained about this with Shahid. I'm getting them on my YouTube videos. And I know YouTube has an algorithm that if you click certain things, you will get certain ads. I don't know what the hell I'm clicking on that I'm getting a Trump 2020 ad. I'm totally confused.
I am not sure. I do not look at your browsing history on YouTube. Mine consists of Being the Elite, heavy metal videos, and the occasional workout. Not gotten a Trump ad on YouTube yet.
See, I think I may have pinpointed it, and with this VPN through work, we go through different sections of the country.
Oh.
And I think that's why, because if I get Little Rock connection, that's when I'll get like these Republican ads. And I'm like, okay. And believe me, just to make clarification, if I see, not anymore, but there were the Bernie Sanders ones that would come up, and he'd be like, I just need a minute of your time. No, you don't. Click. Like, just get off my screen. I'm watching a 30-second trailer. I don't have time for your 2.5 minutes, you fucking millionaire begging for money. Now the new one's Joe Biden. Everybody, I need a favor from you. I was like, well, first off, old man, do you even understand what you're doing right now? But anyways, we're all doomed. That's the whole point of this show. We are doomed for 2020. So, you're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, it's been something of a dumpster fire all around. There have been some unforeseen positives in all of this craziness.
That's true.
But oof.
Got rid of a lot of the weak. That's good. Traffic accidents are claiming more. I see a lot of positives out of this. Actually, you're right. I need to lift my head up.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about quite a number of ways that the herd has been thinned. So I mean,
oof.
I guess I didn't know that traffic accidents are up.
No, traffic deaths are up.
Oh.
Because people are speeding.
Oh, this.
I told you that story. I'm doing 75 in a 70, and I'm getting past like I'm standing still. And it's like, okay, well, somebody here, I mean, this is sad, not to bring it down, but somebody here, they were doing 100 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
They clipped a box truck, and the box truck, or either the box truck or the car, they are reporting so bad, I can't tell, actually jumped through the median, through, like, the wires that are supposed to stop you, hit a family of four and killed all of them.
Oh, wow.
So, and I know this is old man talk, but one, I'm not going to say there's no reason to go that fast because it's fun. I get it. But you're not getting anywhere any faster. And now this guy, I think it's a guy, is up on murder charges.
I would hope so. We were actually kind of wondering. We drove past a beer truck overturned. And we learned enough to know that at least no one was seriously injured in it. Yeah. But it was in a construction zone, and they banked up off of the concrete in between the lanes and overturned and broadsided itself.
Yeah,
but
that's what those are made to do. Yeah.
But I don't know what caused that to happen. You know, I guess I still don't know what caused it to happen, but. You could definitely see the tire marks on the wall. And
I know we're on like a time schedule for actually today.
So yeah.
We really should get off this. But you ever drive on the highway, like the expressway, look at the median wall and see all the tire marks on there? And you're like, what goes on? It's that prevalent that it's that distinguishable and noticeable. Like,
yeah, well. There were three incidents recently that just make me think of that. There was someone in the lawn of the McDonald's near our house yesterday. And I'm like, why did that happen? Like, there's no lane there. There's nothing to hit. Like, I was just confused. But then talking about destruction of property... Right nearby that, actually, a little bit further down in the other direction, someone ran into, you know how they build those big sound walls near the highways? Someone completely ran through one of those, but, like, the wall is probably a good, like, half a block off of the road. Like, you have to go through grass and, like, a small burn and a berm to get up to this wall, and I'm like, what the fuck happened that you couldn't stop in the grass? And then you had to, like, there's a huge hole. Like, it looked like a full hood, or maybe even a full car could fit in there. I'm like, dude, it didn't even stop at the hood. Like, it looked like it went in full bore. I'm like, fucking A, what is happening?
Yeah. I mean, and this is coming, like, and this is from talk from me, at least. I used to speed like a motherfucker. I mean, I got the tickets to prove it. Like, I got clocked doing 80. When we went to Nashville and saw Clutch and all that, I got clocked doing 80 in a 55 going up a mountain. Like, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's not an element, by the way.
Yeah. During that infamous trip that Emily and I had back from your place, the police officer in North Carolina that caught me, I believe he caught me doing 83 in a 55, but he knocked it down to 80 because he knew that I wasn't going to be able to make it back for court. And that was just like the maximum fine number, I believe.
Yeah. Well, now... that's actually reckless driving. That is an actual jailable offense.
Oh.
15 miles over the speed limit is reckless driving. And I'm like, well, that's in the eye of the beholder, by the way. But but he knocked mine down to, 70 and a 50? No. 65 and a 55. Just because he's like, you know, I could take you to jail. I'm like, whatever. Go harass a Mexican driver thinking they have drugs or something. Leave me alone. I'm not bothering anybody. Fucking cops. Luckily, karma doesn't exist, or I should really shut up because we're traveling tomorrow. So, whatever.
Yeah, I definitely had more of a lead foot in my younger days. I just don't really bother these days. It's like, I'll get there. Like, especially, I think that's the big thing, is that almost everywhere is 70 now. Like, yes. When I was going, like, when I, a couple of those drives up to Kent, it was supposed to be a 4-hour drive, and, like, the one time I cut it down to 2 hours and 50 minutes, I think.
Nice.
And, like, the one guy from Latrobe was like, it takes me longer to get there, and I was like, yeah. So, I definitely, but, like, that was, most of the time it was 55, especially in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania's
it's
for that, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's still kind of low. Like, there aren't that many 70 spots in Pennsylvania. Like, I kind of understand where some of the mountains are, but West Virginia lets you kind of do 70, so I figure that you can do it in Pennsylvania, too, honestly.
Not Virginia, that's for sure. Those dicks, they said, like, from here going north, yeah, I believe it's Virginia. There's a tunnel. And on the one side of the tunnel... Yeah, no, it's coming south from West Virginia. You go through West Virginia on 70? No.
77?
Yeah. And on the other side is Virginia. And the stadies are always sitting there on the other side. Because as soon as you get through, it goes from 65 or 70, whatever's in West Virginia, to 55. And they will nail you immediately.
Oh. So, I've never had a... I'll admit, I've never had a problem going through there.
I've never gotten caught, but I've seen them. Yeah. So, yeah. And now I'm the, oh my God, why is everyone going so fast guy? I'm like, no, I'm just going to stay over here in the middle lane or get in the right whenever I need to. And then I'll look down and I'm like, oh, I'm doing 80 miles an hour? Huh, why is everyone still passing me? I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Well, and that's the point that I'm at. Like, most of the roads in Columbus are like 70. Yeah, and I'm doing like, I'm doing 73. And then someone passes me, like I'm standing still. And I'm like, I'm doing 73, man. Like, I'm exactly. Not going slow right now.
It's because you're in your 40s. That's why. it gets a lot easier. Well, Todd, you know, friend Todd I was talking about, he still does that stuff. He will just drive up on somebody and then get mad because they're going too slow. So I finally told him, I'm like, you're making yourself upset. Like,
right.
If you see a car that's going slow in front of you, why do you think they're going to move? Maybe there's somebody in front of them. So you're just getting all stressed out for no reason. And his wife's like, I know, it's what I keep telling him.
Like, yeah.
Right? You want to be stressed out by the end of your drive, go ahead, man. But
I guess that's the other thing. Like, there was definitely way too much stress, especially that Kent, from Altoona to Kent drive, because the Pennsylvania police were allowed to hide on top of all that other fun stuff. So, like, you did not have to see them for them to clock you.
Yep.
And, there was way too much stress. Like, I guess I kind of forget about that part. Because I guess the last, and this is probably when I really started to drive slow was when I didn't have a license and I needed to pretend like I did.
When was that?
That might have been after the divorce.
I didn't know you didn't have a license. That's great.
Yeah. Well, didn't you ever wonder why I hated the South Carolina police so much?
No, I thought I had a pretty good idea. Why?
Yeah, well, that was part of that whole shebang.
Oh, that. Oh.
Yes.
Okay, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yes.
You weren't driving very many places. That's right. I forgot about that. So.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that my old man and it happened exactly at that time. And it has not changed since then. Because I'm like, there were, like, definitely trips, like, going back to my parents from here now, I'm like, oh, I was saving 5 minutes.
Yes. And that's when you balance it out and equal it out, you're like, oh, I didn't really save much time at all. Because, like, in your head, you're like, oh, I'm going to save an hour if I do this. No, that's not how this works. Like, it's
yeah.
It's never worked that way.
Well, like you said, like, you end up running into traffic or something. You know, like, there's always something that slows you up that kind of brings the time down, even if you end up doing, like, 85 during half of it.
Yeah. Now, I will say, I did make it from Kent down here, and I think it was 7 hours, 6 hours.
Oh, that's some nice work.
Oh, yes, it was. There is a difference in driving at 4 in the morning to come down here.
Oh.
So, yeah, so you can get some pretty good speed going, even though it's dark, in my old Ford Tempo. Never quite sure if the car's going to make it all the way down. And then it does, and you're like, huh. Well, here we go. So.
Yeah, that was part of my record time to Kent, too, is that I left Altoona, I believe, at 7 a.m. And there are not a whole lot of people on the road at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
No.
Because Kent and I talked about it. There are the guys that did the cross-country race, and they beat the record time because there was no traffic on the roads, basically.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I forget. It was kind of the fact that you just have to urinate and defecate in the vehicle and then pitch it into bottles just is kind of unappealing to make me want to try to do that. But
yeah, yes.
As much like, fun as that sounds,
old ONA stuff where they would talk about like they talked to truckers. And how they would just shit in bags and whatever else.
Yeah.
Just no thanks. Like, what a horrible life.
Yeah, I like doing it in the toilet. I'm in a clean one at that.
Yeah.
It's not really necessary to do those things.
Yeah, so I appreciate what they do, but no, thank you. So that's why you do your life and I'll do mine. So. I guess we should talk
about
wrestling.
Yeah. I know Traffic Talk brought to you by Ghostbed.
These are life lessons. This is for the younger people who listen. Like, look, this is how you get around stuff. This is what you should do. Don't worry about this part. Yeah, fine. But I know we wanted to talk about AEW first, but since we're talking about cars and like car crashes and stuff. Mia Yim's the toughest wrestler in the world.
She really took a beating last night. Or whenever this was recorded.
Yeah, no, last night's fine. But, I mean, that spot... I didn't even take into consideration the rest of the stuff she'd been through. But that spot, at the end, they're on the table, and I don't know... Was it Tom Phillips? Whoever pointed it out, and he goes, that doesn't look very stable.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, no shit. And they pulled it off.
Yeah.
But then, for those who didn't see, Mia Yim took a top rope, almost angle slam sort of deal.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a swinging neck breaker, but it really ended up looking more like an angle slam, honestly.
And she caught, what, every single one of the chairs that was in that pile?
She caught as many as her body possibly could. The number was high, and it looked extremely painful.
And this is, like, going back to that ladder match where she caught, like, she caught the ladder. Was it the ladder in the face?
Oh, yeah.
And then she fell through the ladder, or she fell out, like, almost immediately after, fell right on the ladder after that?
Yes.
It was like... Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, she is one tough woman, and I do not feel like messing with her.
No, but the bad thing is, like, during all this, she is one tough woman, but she didn't win.
Remember
the last time Mia Yim won a match?
Yeah, like, it's kind of gotten to the point, like, I think you and I talked about it last week, in that she's always, like, the first woman to be, like, the number one contender, and then she keeps on losing the match.
Yeah.
And I guess this is kind of, to me, this one's a matter of timing. Like, because Candice LeRae is kind of in the same boat. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I kind of felt like if you're going to push her, she needs she needed a win there.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, both women were kind of in the same spot, so I guess it sucks that Mia Yim's the one that ended up having to take the L, but I do hope that, you know, I hope that she gets her chance at some point to be champion, or at least to, you know, rack up a few more wins.
Right. See, okay, I thought last night, outside the actual wrestling, I thought last night was a pretty damn creatively put together wrestling show. Like, storyline-wise, all that stuff. Because, yeah, all right. And I think part of it, and maybe this is me overthinking stuff, but I think part of that is due to internet. Like, NXT is the internet show. I don't think there's any way you can disagree with that, right?
It definitely seems like Triple H caters more to the internet crowd. Because, I feel like I see way more chatter about the Wednesday Night Wars, quote-unquote, than Raw or SmackDown.
Right. And now he actually, like, embraces it and talks about it, too. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, they were even talking about there, like, the competition, and it's healthy, and this and this. And it's like, okay. But part of that is, what I think, everything last night was built towards the main event. Because everyone knows Mia Yim and Keith Lee are together. Everyone knows Johnny Gargano and, Jesus Christ. I'm
Candice LeRae.
Already. Yeah, that's terrible. And Candice LeRae are together, like in real life, right?
Yeah.
Well, then they've got like that little mini feud that, you know, they had with each other. And it kind of just it fizzled out after, you know, the match with Johnny and Keith. Like, there wasn't much to it after that.
Oh.
Which I guess it shouldn't be, but the feud between the spouses, I guess they're not married, but the feud between the two.
Where
it's still women. Still going on.
Yeah. Oh.
So, but the main event is two guys who everyone keeps saying, when are they getting called up?
Oh.
And then, the internet crowds know WWE doesn't like breaking up their couples. So then there's that possibility that, oh, Mia Yim just lost. So does this mean that feud's over and now Keith's going up as well? Like, all that sort of stuff. Like, there's all that stuff played into it. And then Johnny at the end, he's like, time to go make some fireworks. So you're expecting him to interfere at the end. Never came. I mean, I was really impressed with the main event angles of last night's NXT and just how seamlessly they were created. But the show did have a bunch of filler, so.
Oh, yeah, this one, like, it was kind of, I was almost going to say it had a New Japan build to it, but New Japan never would have started off with a match as crazy as Mia Yim versus Candice LeRae, but it did feel like after that point they kind of started from the low point, which was Bronson Reed versus Tony Nese, and kind of built up to the main event as far as importance went.
See, I think it's too bad. Like, NXT's got a bunch of guys and gals, but not a lot of them are built up that much. I think we even mentioned, like, where's Bronson Reed at one point, remember? And then all of a sudden he's on the next week, and I was like, oh. Now, I'm not saying someone's listening, but it's like, oh, okay. Well.
Yeah, he has been getting a little more time, but, you know, he's another one. He's kind of in a weird spot where they're like, they definitely want Karrion Kross to do more stuff, so he had to take that L, but he does kind of pick up a nice bounce-back win over Tony Nese, and I guess you kind of wonder where he goes, because really the next match after that, Gargano versus Swerve Scott.
Yes.
I guess that was another interesting one. Like, it makes sense for Gargano to be fighting these kind of up and comers like Swerve and even Bronson Reed, which is why I was kind of thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of, I almost felt like I was a little bit, I was more surprised at the finish of this match than maybe any of the other ones, really. Because I guess I was expecting, I'm like, oh, this is Gargano's time to start putting over the new guys, huh? And then he ends up winning, and I'm like, huh.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say that was a bad match. I just wasn't that involved in it. And I like both guys. I don't know. It's like there was just nothing to it. And as I was joking and we watched stuff, Johnny Gargano sure hates black people. Look at his feuds.
Yes.
And I even went as far as say he had a feud with Aleister Black. He had a feud with the Blackheart. It's like, anything black? He's like, nah, I don't like it. Like, hey guys, can we change this up? I don't know. Like, Bronson Reed? I don't know. Is he ethnic of some sort? Like, no, let's not do that feud either. Trevor Lee, let's just do, or Cameron Grimes, whatever. Let's just do that one for a while. I think that'll work out just nicely. So, but no, the show last night was built around the main event.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. They didn't really give a damn about anything else.
No.
And that's why week one was packed. And this week was like, okay, we got some guys.
Yeah, because, well, I guess I'm kind of scrolling through the results. The six-man tag, you know, it was entertaining. I liked it. But, again, that's more filler than anything else.
Yeah. Yes. Wait, what the hell was the six-man tag? Why am I... Oh, that, yes. Well, that, all right, that had a storyline purpose, yes.
Yes.
But it's such a... It's hard to take a feud with Breezango seriously.
Oh.
Like, they tried to say, listen, well, they love having fun during the introduction, but they get serious in the end. I'm like, they never win. So,
yeah,
why the hell
they're definitely in that spot at this point. Like, it's not as nice as it's been that they came back to NXT. It's like, I guess you came back just to be enhancement talent?
I guess so. It's crazy to me. And it's, I mean, I'm not saying they should be on the top of the card anyways, but Tyler Breeze is such a weird character. Because, I don't know, if you watch Up, Up, Down, Down, any of that stuff, you got these guys, and he's acting like himself, but they still call him Breeze and whatever else. And then you've got Johnny Curtis doing the Fandango stuff. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of hollow after a while. Like, okay, what is this? So, and by the fact that they never win is so hard.
Yeah, I think that they need to, in ring, show that they're more serious. Like, I'm not saying that they're not delivering in the ring, but, like, they really need to kind of beat down someone.
Yeah.
For them to try and get some mystique, I guess, or, you know, to get some credibility. Mystique's probably not the right word. And they had, and again, they haven't really had those since coming back. Everyone's like, oh, hey, great. Breezango's back. And I do think that both of those guys are very creative because all the backstage stuff that they do is a lot of fun. But, yeah, there's no reason to take them seriously in the ring.
No, not at all.
Like,
when they won that, that 4-team match. With Imperium, not Imperium, excuse me.
Oh.
Undisputed Era, who's the other team?
I think it was Imperium, and was Forgotten Sons still around?
No, Imperium are the tag champs, so it couldn't have been them.
Oh.
That's the recent.
I thought that they were in a four-way with Imperium like maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, no, they had the single, well, not singles, but they had a legit tag match. With them in Imperium, yes.
Oh.
That was after they won, like, that three-way or whatever.
Okay.
So, it was just like, all right, whatever. But, I don't know. It's like, so when they won, it was like, why? In all seriousness, like, why? because you knew Imperium weren't going to lose to those guys. So,
yeah. Well, El Legata del Fantasma did not lose to those guys either.
Too long of a name, but whatever. And that guy's awesome. That dude's money. I mean, I can't wait to see if he comes up on the main roster. Him, Andrade. Yes, I'm talking about all the Mexican wrestlers. Not Hector Garza.
Angel Garza.
Angel, thank you. All of them going at it, and whew.
They have a lot of talent in that department.
Yeah, the future's bright. It's just a matter of using the guys, but right now we're talking about the stars of the future. I guess. The whole show though was just built to the main event. I mean,
it was cracking me up as much as I think you and I talked about this. Maybe Chris and I did, but the Mercedes Martinez just kind of like Santana Garrett signed with NXT to become enhancement talent, and I think she's better than that.
Okay, Elise was asking me. She's like, is her gimmick? She's a magician. And I go, I don't know. The thing is, they brought her in. She was highly regarded. They bring her in, and then she loses matches.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, they'll give her a bunch of matches to win, and then she just goes back to losing matches. I don't know if we've ever heard her talk, and I'm being dead serious. Has she ever had a promo?
My memory is not remembering one currently.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's such a weird thing, because who was she the daughter of, or who was she related to? I can't remember.
Oh, I forget who it is, because I paid more attention. They mentioned it a lot in that Women of Wrestling, the first season that I watched. And I can't, I was hoping that would jog my memory, but it's not doing it, and I don't feel like looking it up currently.
I'm looking it up. So, yeah, but no, because they mentioned it last night, and I'm like, oh, okay. And if she comes in, she's a good wrestler. She's pretty. I mean, there's no way around that. She's not old.
No. Well, and I guess that was kind of the fun part. Like, as much as I like Mercedes Martinez, I'm like, man, how much time do they have with her? Like, considering that she is 39.
Yeah. And it broke my heart last night watching that match. That's the worst Mercedes Martinez match I've ever seen. And I'm like, what are they doing? She does look intimidating, like her facial expressions, right? With the piercing. You grew her hair out, which I thought actually kind of hurt the presentation, if you want to go that way. But then she's a wrestler. She wasn't a brawler. She had some brawling, but she's a wrestler. Well, they bring her up and make her this badass who's just a punching machine. And I'm going, what is this? And then it was over. And I went, that's the worst Mercedes Martinez match I've ever seen. This better not be the future for her, because she didn't wait this long. Unless that's, I mean, obviously that's what they want her to do. But it's like, is that what they really want her to do? Like, let her wrestle. I mean, whatever.
Well, it seems like we keep on getting into this quandary of most of the times we don't like the short matches, but then when the person challenges the new person and the match gets stretched out, you're like, well, why the fuck did that just happen?
Okay, it wasn't so much that. Like, if they come in and she has a legit match like that, right?
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. But this, it was just, all she was doing was stomping and punching. That's my thing.
Oh.
Like, she's so much more than that. We've seen it. Shit, she was in, she was in the semifinals of both Mae Young Classics, I think?
I believe so, yeah.
So we've seen what she can do, and last night was not it. And if you're going to have her be like the stomping kicking machine, put Casey Catanzaro in there or something. You know? Not a girl that's actually who looked a little bit bigger than her. Yeah, I was just, I don't know. I was just, I
got you.
I just had seriously high hopes. I was like, oh my god, finally. And then that, I'm like, okay. I don't know. Maybe that's just personal preference. Some people could have loved it. I don't know.
There was definitely a lot of love for the Fisherman Buster.
Yes, that's always cool, though. I mean, believe me, I didn't say one thing about her not being talented.
I got you. And I'm just going to say that no one was really commenting on the match, though, either. Like, it was all about the finisher. So that, you know, it's different saying, oh, that was a cool finisher, as opposed to, hey, that was a good match, even though, you know, there are good squash matches, and that probably was not one of them.
Yeah, and I guess maybe part of it is seeing Santana Garrick in a squash match again. Like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah, like you said, have Catanzaro do it, or someone else that, maybe has either a little bit less potential or not. Like you said, like, Garrett was close to her size, maybe bigger, just because she's kind of a little more full-figured. Is that PC enough, I hope?
No, aren't they thick?
Thick.
Yes.
I
like sticking with hot.
Yeah, she is quite attractive. But yeah, I mean, Mercedes Martinez is more of that kind of tall and lanky build. So having someone in there Garrett's size maybe isn't the best option. I'm sure that they could have kind of found someone better descriptive for the punching bag role.
Yeah, and also whenever I see Mercedes Martinez, I just look and go, how did AEW not sign her?
Oh.
That makes no sense. She was even in was it Women's Battle Royal, or was it the Over the Top, Over the Budget Battle Royal? She was in one of them.
I can't remember. You're correct. I just can't remember which of the two that it is.
But it's honestly how the hell is she not in AEW? Now, maybe she didn't want to be. But...
Oh. Yeah, if it was a her choice thing, I understand. If that was not the case and AEW just didn't approach her, I'm confused as all hell.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's... Especially with the money they have and some of the wrestlers they're giving money to, you can't get her... And especially... And I wonder if this is her role in WWE as well. If she is, like, the player coach. Kind of like Chris Hero was. Or Cassius Ohno was.
Yeah.
You know? And that would make more sense to me. That's why. If Vince already doesn't like Shayna Baszler, can you imagine how he's going to react to Mercedes Martinez? You know?
Yeah. They're basically the same type of wrestler.
Right. And they're friends, too. You know?
Yeah. So,
but yeah, so that was disappointing. But again, it's one match, and I'm not writing her off ever. So
and she's definitely going to get more just from the level of vignettes and the way the announcers talked about her. That's not going to be the end of the push.
Yeah, and also you never know. Like, they could have come back. She could have come back and been like, "Oof, that was a stinker." So, no, I have the utmost confidence in everything she does. So, but yeah, especially watching AEW, and you got Nyla Rose, who, again, should still be their champion, dismantling every woman on the roster. But you see her, she still needs seasoning. All the other women, they could have had her helping everybody out. It's like,
oh,
whatever.
Yeah.
What the fuck ever. I personally need to get over that women's division. Every foot forward, they go four steps back. But whatever.
It just makes it worse, just because the women in the WWE as a whole are probably more the highlight than the men.
absolutely. That's all Shahid and I talked about for, I think, 20, 30 minutes about how Bayley and Sasha are WWE right now.
I mean,
they're everything, and they are not annoying. Well, I'm sorry. They are annoying. That's the point. But then at the same time, they're an entertaining annoying. It's different.
Yes.
Bayley's a giant dork. Like, she is unlikable. Like, the whole, my example was the whole knock, knock, who's there thing.
Oh.
That is hateable.
I about fell over laughing when she did that. I'm like, that is so terrible.
And she keeps doing it, like, ah. And then Sasha's just a little mouthy bitch. And it's like, okay. But then they get in the ring, they back it up. Like, that main event was so good Monday. Anyways, listen, we watch stuff. I don't want to repeat myself.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, well, we've been talking about building to the main event here, and I don't feel like we've spent too much time on any of the matches. Well, again, aside from Mia Yim versus Candice LeRae. Main event time finally rolls around, and I mean, this was one thing that I texted to you, and, is much to my chagrin at this point, because of other things out of my control. I wanted to see Adam Cole versus Keith Lee, so that's why I popped on to NXT first as opposed to AEW.
Same here.
Because, yeah, it's always one of those, the people that do the podcast directly after the shows at 10, you're not watching both of them. I'll throw that one. That's my I harp on it too frequently train. But I definitely feel like you're not really watching both of them well if you're doing it that way. But yeah, Keith Lee, Adam Cole. The WWE has done a very good job of not letting spoilers get out there, at least as far as I know.
Yeah.
And this was kind of another one that I didn't feel like I didn't come across a headline or any place where I could get the spoilers for this one. So good on the WWE for keeping a lid on this.
Well, I told you though, the spoiler did leak out because of one of the extras in the crowd.
Remember,
I told you that last time, and I was very worried. Like, there were websites I wasn't going to because I did not trust them to have any sort of clue to not give away shit. And I did not have the end spoiled, thankfully.
But yeah. When
it got my face last night, I had no idea that was the ending. So, spoilers, everyone. We're going to talk about who won. So, shut it off now if you haven't watched.
Yeah, this is a review show if you have not figured that out by this time of the Stunt Granny experience. But, I guess your reaction to Keith Lee being the one to unite the belts.
I was shocked. And it goes back to what I was telling you at the beginning of the show. They booked this entire show around it. They gave you all these different hints. Like, Johnny Gargano's going to interfere. Going all the way back to Karrion Kross. Where is he? We haven't seen him in 2 weeks since he, you know, basically told Adam Cole his time was up. What's her name?
Mia Yim loses.
And then, so that feud's pretty much over. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I'm the guy that reads the internet. So this has to mean Keith Lee's losing, right? Especially after they keep pimping how big his year was. Survivor Series, that stuff with Brock and the Rumble. I got goosebumps again. That was so cool.
Yeah.
And Brock selling for him, going, who's this big bastard, or whatever he said.
Yeah, who's this big motherfucker?
Yeah.
He looks at Heyman and says that.
So it's like right there, you're like, wait a minute, he's going to the main roster, right?
I've got to admit, I was not thinking about those signals when I was watching the main event or even up to the main event. Just because, like you said, like Mia Yim kind of has a losing problem. So that one didn't make me think she was going up to the main roster, although, you know, obviously you could interpret it that way. And, yeah, it was, I guess it is kind of interesting. Keith Lee, was he the one that smashed the hourglass a couple of weeks ago? Because he's like,
I don't remember.
He's like, you need to worry about me, and he threw it down.
Yeah, you're right.
Threw it down and broke it.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I could see thinking that Lee was going to lose and then just pop onto the main roster.
Yeah, like Riddle did.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
And but then also, it's like, Karrion Kross, didn't it seem like it was going to be Karrion Kross? Because they gave all the signals.
Yeah, like, because Karrion Kross and Keith Lee didn't ever cross paths. Aside from the smashing incident, and that doesn't really count. Like, Kross was all just about Adam Cole. And I even think, I'm trying to think, because he had a little vignette. Did he mention both champions, or both guys in that last night?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, I did not expect a clean win for some reason. Where was Undisputed Era? That's another thing. All of his title matches, for the most part, Undisputed Era has been part of it. And for whatever reason, they were not there last night.
Yeah, that was kind of the big thing. I guess, you know, the swerve that Kross was out there and that Gargano wasn't there. And that, yeah, like you said, like, at some point in pretty much any Undisputed Era match, you expect to see the other guys. And they even kind of highlighted Kyle O'Reilly coming to the facility, at least.
Yeah. Well, he's got type 1 diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he's staying away. So.
Yeah.
That's what I read. I hate stating things as a matter of fact when it's just something I read, especially when it's like it may not be true as well. What a horrible habit we have.
Well, he has definitely stayed away from the ring, so that part is definitely true.
Yeah, never inside.
Yeah, he's never been inside. So, but yeah, you kind of expect Undisputed Era to factor into his match, whether. You know, whether Adam Cole's opponent overcomes that or not is kind of a different thing, and usually depends upon the type of match. But yeah, I guess is there nothing holding back the Undisputed Era from going up as a team to the main roster?
I wouldn't think. Especially right now, isn't it simple? Everybody's recording in the same place. So, you don't even have to worry about, I mean, honestly, like I'm talking like physically, no. But where do they go? SmackDown? Because the Forgotten Sons, no pun intended, yeah, I was trying to think of a way around that, but they're done.
Yes.
So, they need a tag team to go in with the New Day. Hey, but, is Undisputed Era, is it... So you got Adam's the leader, Roddy's like the heater, the guy who can take the L's, and Kyle O'Reilly and Fish are the tag team. Even though they keep doing Fish and Roderick because of circumstances, but it just never seems right when it's Roddy and Bobby Fish.
Oh, no. Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong is an okay combination because wasn't Fish out for a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess, again, that kind of goes back to, I feel like O'Reilly and Strong had a little bit of time together, maybe not as a team, but as part of Truth Martini's group in ROH. So, you know, I think it might just be that part of me influencing it, making it feel okay-ish when it's O'Reilly and Strong, but yeah, Fish and Strong kind of feels like a weird combination.
Yeah, it always does. Don't know why, it just always does. But no, it's like, so you have that in New Day, and it's like, okay. And then, but I don't know, like, right now, can you see Adam Cole versus Braun Strowman?
Oh, well, and I think we had already talked about that. I mean, and everyone was just having a field day on Twitter with it when they had the graphic for the main event, and it had Adam Cole at 6'2" 210.
Okay.
Yes.
Like Canadian degrees. I mean,
that was pretty much everyone's reaction. And
oh no, I missed that. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. There was some. Yeah, and someone went to Wikipedia, and it's like Zack Sabre Jr. 6 foot, and they showed a picture of Sabre standing next to Adam Cole, and he's like a full head taller than him.
Yeah, I stood next to Adam Cole. I dwarfed him. Like, super nice guy. That's again nothing personal.
Yeah, he's a great
6 foot is bullshit.
Yeah, we have praised his wrestling up and down. If he's offended by the fact that we're not buying that he's 6 foot, then so be it.
Sorry, buddy. Yeah. No,
yeah, he is my height, 5'9" at best.
Oh, I don't know, man.
He might be shorter than that.
I think he might be, but here's the thing, like, he's slender as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's so weird how much muscle mass he's lost. Because look at him in ROH, and wherever else he was bigger. And now he's not, and it's very strange. Like, most of the time you go to NXT, you gain.
Yeah, it's been, that's a little bit strange. Like you said, like, most people, if you just go to WWE in general, it's just like, oh, you look a little more bulked up. And it's like, Adam Cole has done the opposite, and it's just like, dude, you weren't big to start with. Like, you don't really need to lose any weight. Like, I don't know what you're trying to pull here.
Yeah.
Especially, when, like you said, like, the main roster is just, and I think that's how we kind of got off on that point. Like, I think the two of us talked about how he's a weird fit for the main roster just because he isn't big. And he isn't, and like, because some of those guys can make up for it because of their height, and he can't because he's not tall.
No. But his character work is so good.
Oh.
That
yeah.
It more than makes up for it, you know? And that's a huge bonus for him. And if they allow Adam Cole to be Adam Cole on the main roster, that's money. It's gold. It is money. So
baby.
Yeah.
That thing somehow hasn't gotten old, even though he has been doing that since ROH, and what, he's been out of ROH for 4 years now?
Yeah.
Five?
Yeah.
So, that's a long time to keep a gimmick going and not to have people like us shitting all over it. So, kudos to him. I think that goes into, I guess, prove the character work that he puts in, that the jackals of the internet haven't flipped on him yet.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's a matter of time, though. You know what it'll be? It's when he goes to the main roster, everyone's going to shit on him. He was never that good anyways. Like, okay, whatever.
If people go that route, I'll just sit there and shake my head. It's just going to be another one. Because, you know, him and Gargano are both kind of in the same spot. Like, they're kind of weird on the main roster. Like,
right.
They can do great character work, but their size just really gets to be a hindrance. Like you said, when you're dealing with people like Braun Strowman, like, you can do some of the guys, but I mean, the other champions, Drew McIntyre, who's a fucking monster.
Yeah.
Too.
Okay, so But here's the thing, like, it's funny we say it like that, because remember, they had a whole thing with Drew and Adam Cole. Remember that? And it was actually pretty damn good.
On NXT.
Like, really get caught up in all that, yeah.
Well, and then this is where this part comes into play, I guess. This is always a bias, I think, just generally on the show's part. The transition from NXT feud to main roster feud does not always go smoothly.
No, it does not. No, we actually talked about it, and we watched stuff about how the failure rate for guys is so much greater than the failure rate for women. Now, more men get called up to NXT to the main roster from NXT because there's just more of them.
Oh, right.
But the women's success rate is insane compared to the failure rate of the guys and just how bad it gets. So it was funny to see that stuff. Like, we never thought about it. And
oh. Yeah, I guess I just really don't see that for Cole. Honestly, like,
I can't. You got to figure if Shawn Michaels and Triple H are that high on him, Vince has got to listen to that. You know?
Oh, yeah. So. And plus, there are still enough guys in the main roster that he can work with that are closer to his size. Exactly. I mean, there's still Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles and even Matt Riddle on the main roster would be one to go to at some point, because Riddle's not that huge of a guy. He's just completely fucking ripped.
Yeah, now Riddle's, I think Riddle's about 6 foot tall, though. Like, legit, he's at least 6 foot. So,
yeah, but he definitely wasn't wrestling in the heavyweight division in the UFC.
No, he was not. So,
I don't know what weight class he necessarily was, but I'm just going to say he wasn't actually going to face Brock Lesnar in that situation.
Yeah. No, it's funny, we're talking about all the main call. We still haven't even talked about the match, which was funny to me, because what did you think of the actual match?
It kind of, it was a slow start and a nice build to, you know, yeah, there were a lot of kind of finisher moves there at the end with them both kind of, you know, well, not kind of. They were failing to put them away with some big moves. But you could almost tell, like, I could tell that it didn't, you know, it didn't feel like it was the right time for the pinfall to happen in each case.
Right, yeah. okay, see, I'm with you on that. But then, with the way there was such a stink about the main event winner spoilers getting out, it almost seemed like there was some chicanery that was going to go on. Where, like, somebody comes in and, like, I don't know how they would have played it, but, you know, like, oh, well, I'm going to come in, I'm going to demand a shot right now, and then somebody else that no one expected actually ends up as the champion. You know, some dumb, goofy shit like that.
Right.
I was just kind of expecting something like that, and when it didn't happen, I was happy. Because, all right, I guess I didn't care who won. I wanted the match to be good, and I thought the match was good, but here's the thing. Keith Lee needs a new finisher. I forget that, like, that's his finisher, but then also, it's not that dramatic.
I don't know why the Spirit Bomb isn't his finisher.
Which one's that?
That's his super power bomb, where he lifts the guy up before throwing them down.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because he did the Spirit Bomb, and then he did the Jackhammer. And I'm just like, this just feels unnecessary at this point. Like, because they're just... I guess I'll just say it. I think Keith Lee is very athletic, and I like him more than Goldberg. But I'm just going to say that Goldberg does a better Jackhammer.
And be honest, no one's done a better jackhammer than him.
So,
you know, be dead serious. Like, no one's ever done a better jackhammer than Goldberg. So,
yeah,
and I don't like Goldberg. So that should tell you all you need to know. So.
So yeah, that's I guess that's the thing for me. Like it does not, like, Keith Lee is super athletic and he can do, you know, like he can do everything. And like I texted you about it. Like I've liked that guy. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Since I saw him in ROH with him and Shane Taylor were a tag team at first, and I'm just like, oh, this guy's just kind of got everything. And to have the jackhammer as a finish, it's just kind of like, eh. You know, like, you can do all those athletic things, and then that's your finisher. It doesn't seem like much, and again, like, that spirit bomb, like, dude, he is dropping everyone, especially, like, when he's Adam Cole, and he's like, oh, no, I can still lift this guy up because he weighs a 185, and, you know, drop him from the heavens. You know, like, he... Like, that looks way more vicious than a jackhammer, so.
Yeah. I like the match, the ending. It's so funny because Adam Cole has kicked out of so much stuff.
Oh.
You know, we've seen all those matches that did, and I'm like, so that's how it's ending, huh?
Yeah.
I guess that was part of it to me. It was like, okay.
Yeah, he got his one set of kickouts earlier before he got to try his set of finishers.
Yeah, I don't know. I just expected more. And so that was the end. And I guess maybe being on TV is another big problem because they don't do much overruns anymore. So you knew that, like, that was like it was getting on 10. So that had to be the end. But yeah, man, when he kicked out, when he didn't kick out, I'm like, I was shocked. Like, wait, what? I've seen this man go through so much worse.
Yeah. And it's always, it's just going to be super weird. Like, there is definitely a reaction, but there's a difference between that reaction and, you know, if they would have been doing this at an NXT TakeOver type of situation, like, that crowd would have went bonkers.
Yes, and I was going to bring that up. And again, this is something I need to get over.
Oh.
Crowds, man. Just crowds.
Yeah.
I mean,
like,
I was watching that last night going, this would have been huge. And I think they would have actually shown the handshake between the two.
Oh.
Which I thought they should have showed last night. And especially if they wanted to show him shaking hands and then cut to the scene, which I thought was a very cool shot of Karrion Kross and Scarlett looking down. That we don't get that very often, so I just thought that was really cool to see.
Oh.
But then show like them shaking hands and him just going, whatever. Like, see, that's why he wasn't cut out to be champion or something. You know, something like that. But I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for NXT anymore. You still got Finn Balor, who doesn't get used that often, if you think about it.
No. He has definitely been more hamstrung by the COVID pandemic than anyone else, I feel like.
Yeah, it's fair.
So, and it did help. Like, he really did seem to reinvent himself at least a little bit, even if it's kind of going back more to the, and not that I really saw it, but it definitely seems like it's more of the Prince Devitt era.
Yeah.
Finn Balor.
Who didn't always win. So it's not about him winning.
No. But, and he picked, cause he lost the pay-per-view. And then I felt like he kind of picked up a couple of wins soon thereafter. It's like, okay, you know, he's going to take, yeah, you're going to take some L's at some point.
Yeah, and lose. Well, he lost to Cameron Grimes because of Aleister Black Jr. cost him the match.
Yeah.
And I think that was it, though. And well, he did take the loss in the triple threat match. So there's that, too. But, yeah, there's a lot of play. Where's Ciampa? He took off after getting his ass kicked, which actually makes sense. And from a storyline perspective, he got run through by Karrion Kross. We were both shocked.
Oh, yeah.
And they actually use that in the story. So, like, oh, okay. But no, NXT's kind of at a crossroads. Like, again, we don't know if anyone's actually leaving or not, you know?
Oh.
But it sure as shit seems like someone should be leaving, right? I mean.
Yeah, it definitely feels like there's some type of a shakeup. Like you said, like, the Undisputed Era doesn't. They don't have anything to do.
No.
Because Fish and O'Reilly are, what, 2-time tag champs at this point?
Yes. Roderick's held the North American and tag titles. Whether he was, you know, part of the winning team or not, doesn't matter.
Right.
Cole's been champion for over a year. So, okay, so, well, I'm going to go back to being, I'm going to try the championship again. It's like, all right, it just seems old. But, and then Keith Lee can become the face of it. I mean, why not give him a long reign? I still think it's set up for Karrion Kross to beat him pretty quick.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I guess to kind of, and maybe you talked about this at the start of the show, like, you almost thought that Keith Lee was getting a call-up after that moment at the Royal Rumble. The fact that he's going to have, like, you can't have him have too short of a reign as NXT champion, but I would honestly not foresee him having a run even close to what Adam Cole's was. No.
Well, they have a takeover in August for SummerSlam weekend. So.
Oh, okay.
I mean, doesn't it seem like it should be Karrion Kross? I mean, I'm basing this all off of the last few moments from last night. Like, nothing else.
But who else do they really have kind of in that main event slot to fit in there? Like, for Keith Lee to take on? Like, so he just beat Adam Cole. And, I mean, unless you rehash that again at the next takeover, Johnny Gargano isn't really going to do anything for anyone.
That's actually what I was going to suggest.
Oh, okay.
Now, the reason I was going to say that is ticket sales. You don't have to worry about that. You know?
Oh.
You don't have to worry about like trying to come up with a card that people are going to come out to buy tickets for. You know?
So, yeah.
If you want to do that, because didn't Johnny even say he's got to start some fireworks of his own? Well, wouldn't that be kind of a place to start? Yeah, I already know what you're going to type, by the way. And trust me, I just checked myself. So we're not going to get to AEW anyways, which is fine because you didn't see it.
But. Yeah, that will have to come later, I suppose.
It's. It's a weird time. It's an exciting time for NXT, especially as a fan. I mean, to see what they come up with, because there's a lot of guys I like, a lot of women I like too, and they're mostly fresh faces. But right now, it belongs to Keith Lee. I do not understand, or I don't know how long that's going to last.
Yeah, like I said, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if it's not that long, because. Of all the guys down there, Keith Lee just really seems like a main roster guy more than anyone.
And also, like, this isn't to demean him or his accomplishments, but it also seems like, well, one, they did a very good job of the build-up, but then also you could kind of see it as like a token gesture. Like, you have been so important, you've been so good that you we have to make you champion. That's what I meant by token gesture. Like, we know you're like, maybe he is on the way out. And they were like, no, let us do this first for him. Create more accolades for the guy. And then, you know, that sort of thing. And I understand, like, using the word token there is, you know, probably not the smartest. But
yeah,
that's all I could think of. So.
Yeah. Okie doke. Well, yeah, I did not watch AEW because my DVR did not properly record it, and then when I went to the TNT app, it was on there this morning and then taken off due to video errors. So yes, even TNT did not have it today.
Just wait till you get to that douche chill promo by Taz. Ugh.
Oh.
Did you see what he did real quick?
I did see the Fuck the World championship. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. This was everything. It was like, dude, no, it was never a recognized championship. It was made because you said you didn't need the ECW. Like, okay, so they're basically doing what WWE does to history. And everyone just goes, oh my god, he brought the FTW belt back. Like, so what? So what? It's just Brian Cage looks like a tool with a fake belt. Like, cool. Not the way. We don't have time, I'm sorry. But you'll see. So.
Yeah, I will eventually watch it. No belt time beer for me in middays since I need to drive. So, at DeFrango11, at Granny Maze, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever the fuck else you can find us. And have a good night.
Later, gang.